B-Pod Studios.
Felger.
I don't know, guys. Am I going to play? Am I not going to play? What am I going to do?
Maz.
Yeah, Maz, you stupid. S-T-O-O. Stupid Maz.
It's time for Felger and Maz, presented by DraftKings on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, 3:03 in the afternoon. Again, I have a giveaway for you coming up this segment. Stay tuned for it. NHL trade deadline come and gone. We're waiting to see if any deals just get announced trickling over the deadline. Joe Thornton not going to the Bruins. Joe Thornton not going anywhere, which is sort of odd to me. It's like, so you said Pierre LeBrun not.
He's Pierre
not,
LeBrun, yep.
So is that because he didn't want to go anywhere or no one wanted him? I don't know. If you're a contender, you don't think he works on your fourth line? That there's just, I don't know. Just
would it shock you if he didn't want to go anywhere?
It wouldn't shock me. So that's my second thing. Did no one want him at any price? Like, if San Jose said, Joe, you can go wherever you want. We'll just take a seventh round pick or whatever just to let you go win your cup. It's over. This is it. And you can go. And does he say no? Because he might. Like, he's that kind of guy. He might.
I mean, he went back to them for short money, right?
Yes.
So, you know, to me, that says that he just wanted to finish it up there, and maybe that's what he said.
Like, come on, Joe.
I wouldn't rule that out.
You've been in the league forever. Been in the league forever. You don't want to sniff at a cup?
No guts.
I mean, seriously. So I don't know whether to blame him or to blame the Sharks for holding on to him or...
Yeah, blame him.
No one wanted him.
Because the Sharks sell-off continues. They apparently just moved Barclay Goodrow, right winger, to Tampa. So Tampa just got better. And we have an update on the Bruins, courtesy of Joe McDonald of The Athletic. Bruins are done. Nothing more to come.
Okay.
Boo.
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 Yes.
Boo.
I've wanted another body.
Boo. Boo. The one that frustrates me, here's the one that frustrates me, is Vincent Trocheck. Vincent Trocheck. We talked about him last week. That's the guy that I wanted. That's the guy that I liked.
Oh, Felger, but he's not available. Why would they make him available, Felger? They're in the playoffs. They're going for the playoffs.
Yeah, he got traded today to another playoff team. Got traded today to another playoff team who was available. He was available. And he went for a package that did not include a first-round pick. Either a first-round pick going or a player that was taken in the first round. So you had the ammo to get Vincent Trocheck. And that, to me, is frustrating. I feel like they got a bag of pucks for him. Four guys that you never heard of. I mean, there's a couple NHL players in there. Eric Howlett, can someone tell me how to pronounce that name so I don't butcher it again? No? No one wants to help me out with that?
Let me look.
Do you have like a pronunciation guide over there, Murray? Don't you have to? Like when you read the news, don't you know how to pronounce the crap?
Typically what I do is I will YouTube a particular player and then listen to it. It's a whole process, Mike. It's not just give me 5 seconds and I'll come up with it.
Google pronunciation guide. Yeah, he listens on YouTube though.
So Eric Howla, however you pronounce that name.
Hula.
Scored 29 goals for Vegas a couple of years ago. I wonder if he was even an expansion pickup. I didn't bother to look it up. But he was in Minnesota for 4 years, didn't do anything, went to Vegas and popped for 29 goals, then went to Carolina, has done squat. He's got 12 goals in 41 games. Feels like just a guy. Bottom six. And then Lucas Walmark, he's a young center. He was a fourth-round pick in 2014. He's got 10 goals. Feels like a couple of bottom six forwards. A couple of young-ish, but not even young, bottom six forwards. And then two guys in the AHL. One is a former defenseman here at Quinnipiac. He was a sixth-round pick. I don't think he's anything. Chase Preski. And then I'm not even going to pronounce this last one, a Finnish forward who was a second-round pick in 2017, who might be something. I don't know. He's with the Charlotte Checkers of the AHL. For that, you got Vinny Trocheck. So it's just a package. It's just a group of guys, which I feel like the Bruins are bursting at the seams with those sort of tweener guys.
They totally are.
They might be nice prospects. They might be projecting the NHL's bottom six guys, but you know, Heinen, Bjork, Frederick, I feel like they got a million of them.
Yeah, it's exactly what Heinen is, as you said.
So you could have
Eric Halla.
There you go. Halla.
It's actually Arik.
Eric Halla.
Huh?
Arik Halla is how it's pronounced.
Arik Halla.
Arik.
Arik.
Eric Halla.
So, like, you couldn't have packaged up four of those guys for Vinny Trocheck? That's the one I'll second guess. That's the one I'll second guess. Chris Kreider didn't move. He resigned in New York. Fine, no problem. Palmieri in Jersey didn't move. So maybe they're asking for something that was stupid. I don't want them to get stupid. I'm not asking them to, you know, trade multiple first-round picks for a guy or a rental. Like, I don't... I don't need you to get stupid. But four Arakawas for Vinny Trocheck?
What was that fourth guy's name?
Ijulu
Astarinen.
There it is. Ijulu Astarinen.
Ijulu Astarinen.
Whoever.
Ijulu Brute.
Just like these guys. So that frustrates me. They should have been in on Vincent Trocheck.
I told you, I wanted somebody that felt to me like a bona fide top six right wing, you know, really second line right wing to play with Krejci. That's what I thought.
That's Vinny Trocheck.
I hope you're right.
That's Trocheck. No, I'm not. Well,
I mean, you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Chase Prisky.
From your standpoint, you know more about Trocheck than I do. Look, the two guys that they got, I get it. I like the fact that Kashe has term. I like that. I like the fact that Richie has size. I like that. But ideally, I would have wanted someone that had a little bit of both that could play on that second line.
Give me your Eastern Conference power rankings.
Washington, number one. I think Washington's the best team. They scare the hell out of me. And then
I feel like there's been slippage there.
Really?
They've had issues in goals.
And there's slippage with their goal. I was just going to say, Holpe's not quite the same guy. Then again, he won last year, or 2 years ago. They straightened out just in time.
I think like if they play their best, they win. That's what I feel like. And I'm not telling you Tampa sucks. But the Bruins probably are right there after that.
Tampa has the best roster. If we're just going roster, it's Tampa 1, Washington 2, and then you and Pittsburgh. And Pittsburgh made like a handful of moves here. So the East is freaking loaded. Tampa, Washington, Pittsburgh, and you. You four teams. Now, you've played as well as anyone, but if I stack up your roster next to Tampa's, I'm sorry. Tampa still has the roster. And I think Washington still has the roster over you. Pittsburgh, a little closer to you. But so if we're just going on pure talent, which thank God, it's not the NBA. It's you actually determine it on the ice with... You can outwork a team and outsmart a team and outgoaltend a team, and the best team doesn't always win. So you got more than a fighting chance there.
Well, the good news for the Bruins is they won't have to play both Pittsburgh and Washington, right?
There you go. That's right.
Right. You're only going to catch one of those unless someone fades into a wild card, which I don't think is going to happen. So, you know, if you can somehow find a way to avoid Tampa again by winning the division and maybe Toronto picks them off, Then you get a shot.
Toronto's taking a step back this year, too. So anyway, there's your landscape. Bruins done at the deadline. Your thoughts on that and everything else from the weekend. 617-779-0985. And a giveaway here coming up in a minute. Matt in the truck. Go ahead, Matt.
Hey, how's you guys doing today?
Good.
I was commenting about the Heinen trade. I'm so glad they got rid of him. But do you think they traded him for Nick Ritchie just because they have Brett's jerseys left over?
Save him some money? Just have to change one letter on the back of it? I don't know. What happened to Brett Ritchie? Where is he?
Providence.
So I hope it's not related. I have no idea what to make of that. Other than I'm just glad I don't have to watch Danton Heinen. That's all. I'm just happy not to have to watch Danton Heinen on a nightly basis.
I mean, if he's the same guy but bigger, I'll take that. Right? I mean, how do you not? They absolutely need someone who's got some mass because it's such a freaking problem for them when they got into the finals last year against the Blues, so I'll take that part of it. I just feel like they kind of pieced it versus going to get a real player. That's what it feels like to me. But I thought that way last year a little bit, and it turned out for them. So, you know, I'll wait it out. I mean, I'm not that, you know, upset about it, but I thought that they'd do better than this.
Here's Fred in Chicago on the fight Saturday. Hi, Fred.
Hello, good afternoon, guys. A comment and a question first. A comment, Maz, you were correct about Ortiz, mostly the Wilder-Ortiz first fight. He really showed his heart because Ortiz landed a gargantuan left in the seventh round, and Wilder didn't go down, which showed his chin because Ortiz is a huge puncher, and he survived the round, and then he knocked Ortiz out. So I wholeheartedly agree on his heart. But my question is, Felger, Mike, you had expressed a fear last week that this fight may be something that would decrease interest in boxing if it turned out to be another Pacquiao-Mayweather. Now, the fight wasn't a dud. It wasn't boring, but it was incredibly one-sided. So as a hardcore fan, I'd like to know from you, did the fight, do you think, increase interest in the sport in spite of its one-sided nature?
Yep. It delivered for me. That's all I can tell you. And I'm, you know, borderline casual fan, maybe one half notch above casual fan. It delivered big time for me. I thought it was an exciting night. I mean, liked it.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, I can tell you this. I'm eager to see the next one. And I'm assuming it's going to be a Fury Joshua. But I want to see the next one.
I don't know how that didn't whet your appetite. It was brutal. It was and when I say brutal, it was violent and heavy and bloody. And this is why I like the heavyweights. Because when they hit each other, it leaves a mark. You can watch those lower weight classes, and guys are popping each other in the face, left, right, and center, and it's like the guy is hardly fazed. Those shots that landed on Wilder left a big mark on him. I mean, so I thought it was a big, heavy fight. I love how big those guys are. I think they're, just the pure size of them and how they move and how Fury moves with his size is tremendous. I think Wilder's in tremendous physical shape. He's still not much of a boxer, but I was impressed with how he hung in there. I like the night. I can't speak for even more casual fans, but I thought that was I don't think it was like an all-time classic or anything like that. I'm not going to put it on any DVD set or anything, but I think it was worth your $80. It was for me. I don't look at things and say, that's $80 I just wasted. I don't feel that way at all.
No, I didn't feel that way either. I wish Wilder had represented himself a little bit better in that thing. Because I didn't expect it to be as one-sided as... He got his ass kicked from the opening bell.
So, you know what? I felt after the second... I thought Wilder might have nipped him in the second round. I know he got the second round on one of the scorecards. And on the Felger scorecard, I gave it to him. Maybe I was, seeing it how I wanted to see it. But I thought after the second, it's like, okay, you hung in here in the second round, and you may have taken this or at least lost it narrowly. And now let's go. And then he took that overhand right in the third, and it was good. It was Tweety Birds floating around his head the rest of the night.
Seriously, he was stumbling around the ring the rest of the night.
I've never seen that
before. He couldn't stand up straight. It was unbelievable. And again, something happened there with his ear. Because or the fact that he was just in la-la land after that shot.
I mean, but just the sight of him, hanging in there with bleeding out his ear, whether it was even if it was just a cut, in the moment you don't know it, but like his brain's bleeding, and the just the drama of when is the ref going to stop the fight? Because I thought anytime after the fifth he could have stepped in there. When he got knocked down with the body blow, like how often do you see that?
Not often.
And it was a worthy body blow. Like that was a knockdown body shot. And at any point, the ref's going to step in there. So there's that whole drama. And like, is he going to hang in there? He could really get hurt. You sort of had that in the back of your mind. Like, he's about to really get hurt. Like, even as it was, I think that took years off the guy's life. I think Dante Wilder's going to feel that when he's in retirement that night.
I did at the end have respect for him, especially when he, stood there at the end. And
he wanted his, but right before they threw in the towel, he was trying to throw punches.
Yes, and he said, he was mad that they threw in the towel.
Yes.
I wanted to go out on my shield.
We continue with that. Oh, here's your giveaway. Caller number 10 right now to the Pride Motor Group contest line, 617-931-0985. We'll score a pair of tickets to WWE SmackDown this Friday night at the TD Garden. Come see Bray Wyatt.
That's right.
I've heard of that one. Roman Reigns, Daniel Bryan, Dolph Ziggler.
Yep.
Who are these guys?
The stars of SmackDown.
And more. Including
John Cena as well.
Okay, John Cena and Jimmy Stewart dressed up like the Ultimate Warrior holding a sign that says Suck It Maz.
Sitting on the camera.
Get your tickets now at the TD Garden box office and all Ticketmaster outlets. The freebies are yours at caller 10 at the Pride and Motor Group contest line. I'll have free Bruins tickets for you coming up later on in the 4 o'clock hour. Back to your phones on a reentry Monday right after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Something?
I don't know. Google it, Maz.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
That's idiotic.
Now back to Felger and Maz on Boston's home for sports.
Wilder just coasting back into that neutral corner, and now Fury's looking to split the guard as Wilder's in bad shape. This the fight is over. This TKO victory. There is only one. There is only one. Crown the king. The lone.
just want to say a big shout out to Deontay Wilder. You know, he came here tonight, he manned up, he really did show heart of a champion. I hit him with a clean right hand and dropped him, and he got back up and battled on into round seven. He is a warrior, he will be back, he will be a champion again. But I will say, the king has returned to the top of the throne.
That was the fight Saturday night. You have a thought, Murray?
Yeah, like I like Fury, and I only really know about him just from, I mentioned it last week, you know, catching up on his story on a ESPN E60 piece on him, and it's a great comeback story. And I also like that he basically told Wilder to his face leading up to this what he was going to do, and then he did it. Like, he talked the talk and he walked the walk. I thought it was a great night. I don't know of anyone that actually ordered the fight, and I know of a few people that did just because of us talking about it and you being so pumped about it and the both of you, you know, being into Wilder for so long. And, you know, even though it didn't go the distance, I didn't hear from anyone that thought it didn't pay off. It was a good night. It was entertaining.
He is an easy guy to root for. Fury,
absolutely.
Right. I mean, he is. Murray's right. He's a great story. This guy was suicidal, as you read on Friday.
The ring walks were a bug.
Oh, my God. The thing with the throne?
I missed that. Caught up with this probably around the second or third round, but when I saw the photos at seven, I was like, oh, Mike must have hated this.
I'm used to theatrics, certainly for Wilder. He's been coming in with a face mask getup the whole time, but it's like, all right, guys.
I mean, it took way too long.
The undercard took forever, and now it's midnight, and you're singing Patsy Cline?
Patsy. Whatever. Crazy, yeah.
Patsy Cline, on the way into it, it's taking 20 minutes for you to, you know, amble in there on your throne. Like, can you? I don't mind the theatrics and all of it. Like, I get it.
Just do it quicker.
Like, let's go.
It was a glacial pace.
Jesus.
They were, you know, they said, quote unquote, carrying him in. I'm sure the thing was on rollers while he was sitting on his throne up there. But it did. It took forever.
So that was the only bug for me.
Oh, my gosh. Please just hurry up already. And even Wilder walking in took forever. It did. The whole thing took forever. Now, but once the fight started, I was into it.
I mean, I just like the thumping nature of those guys. They were thumping each other, just pounding each other. And the drama was Wilder hanging in there. I mean, he's had a ton of fights where he's been down and he just gets to the end and then hits you with one right and that's it. And that's how he got the draw on Fury. The difference here is that this time he was really beat up. He wasn't just being outpointed and he wasn't just down on the cards. He was, I've never seen his face look like that.
Mike, he went through stretches of that fight where he felt like he wasn't throwing punches.
Well, the stats, the CompuBox stats, I think it was 2-1.
There was one stage where I thought, this is like a freaking pinata. He's just getting walloped. And he's sitting there, and he's a horrible defensive fighter. His left hand is down by his waist the whole time. The Fury's just pounded him in the face over and over and over again. And I thought the one shot I thought he had was after he got drilled in the head. I thought, okay, maybe he'll get his legs back. He'll, you know, go to his corner. He'll catch a little breathe here and he'll come out. He'll be all right because he survived it. He didn't have it. I mean, his legs were gone. I remember saying to myself on the fourth round, he's done.
Done.
Oh. Now, he lasted three more rounds, but I thought, he's cooked. It's over. He's not coming back from this.
Fury landed 82 of 267. Wilder landed 34 of 141. It was almost 2-1. I mean, it was over 2-1 in landed shots.
Yeah, and there was one stretch. Was it after the second round where they were about even?
Yeah, like I said, in the second, I thought Wilder sort of like, okay, he steadied himself.
But then the last four and a half rounds.
Forget about it.
He got absolutely freaking whacked.
Forget about it. I'll tell you, that Fury's an impressive guy. I was worried about him. I was worried about him. Meaning, you know, again, because he's had all those mental health problems and substance abuse problems, and he's sort of a risky guy. He's an at-risk guy, and he's in Vegas for the week. And the pre-fight press conference, Wilder went right at him on that stuff, and I don't know how Fury responded to it, not very well. And he's got a split lip even before the fight. You notice that? It's like his lips cut or it's a cold sore or something. I'm like, oh, God, he's all stressed out or something. And then I see him take his robe off after the stupid ring entrance, and he's clearly put on too much weight. I'm like, oh, my God, now he's overweight. I was like, where's this guy at? This could be trouble for Fury, and he knew exactly what he was doing. He knew exactly what he was doing in command the entire time. And as Murray said, he won the first fight for all intents and purposes and still said not good enough. He changed his entire approach and won with it and dominated with it.
Took it out of the hands of the judges. Right? He said, I'm gonna have to knock him out to win the fight. And after the second round, did you see he had like a little abrasion on his left cheek? And I thought, ooh, because Wilder had a better second round. I still thought Fury won the second round, but it was close. And there was this little abrasion on Fury's left cheek, and I thought he's gonna cut. He's gonna open up. If Wilder keeps hitting him there, he's gonna open up. And it never happened because he just beat the freaking stuffing out of him.
If the heavyweight division is overseas, in other words, if Deontay Wilder fades, and I'll just say this, unless Tyson Fury has a relapse and gets strung out on drugs again, I don't think Wilder can beat him. Fury's too good of a fighter. He's too good of a fighter. He's too good of a boxer. He just has way more in his bag than Wilder. Wilder's got the right hand, and that's it. That's all he's got, and he's in good shape. But that's it. Unless Fury fades, I don't think Wilder can catch him.
I mean, it doesn't feel like. He's just not skilled enough.
Is there another American heavyweight out there? Billy, is there another American? So is it all these Europeans now? Is it?
Billy says Ruiz.
Okay, so, okay. Yeah, that's an American. If the division is the Europeans, though, if it's Fury and Joshua and Joe Parker, who's in New Zealand, and, you know, all these guys over there.
Joe Parker doesn't interest me.
But my question is it good enough for America? In other words,
in the short term, yes.
If Fury fights Joshua at Wembley Stadium, which is like where it's going to be,
yep,
or something like that,
yep,
in a soccer stadium or some, you know, Olympic stadium holding 90,000 people, that's what that fight's going to be. Does that have our interest like it would be if it were an American in Vegas?
Not quite, no, but I would watch that one, though. And then, you know, if it goes the way heavyweight boxing wants it to go, then you'd get Joshua Wilder. Right? Joshua beats Fury, then yep. Joshua fights Wilder, and then, you know, you stretch this thing out a little bit. So it could suck people back into it. I would watch Fury Joshua. Would you?
I watch all this stuff. I like this division. I like these guys. I like these fights. Almost everyone. I might like almost all of them. The only one I hated was when Joshua fought Joe Parker. Like, I was like, good God, don't tell me this is what this is going to be.
I have no use for Joe Parker.
Pretty much every other fight I've seen from these guys in that division, someone goes down, someone gets hurt, someone comes back. You know, they're all, for the most part, worth my time. And so, yeah, I mean, I'm in. I'm curious about broad appeal. If the heavyweight division is Brits, are we in? In the U.S., that's what I'm concerned about. Can we talk about it? That's what I want. So what I think the division needs is, you know, Wilder to hang in there. Come back and beat one of these guys, pull an upset, whatever. I think it helps. It helps have an American. Cam in the car. Go ahead, Cam.
Hey, guys. So I'm 27 years old. I'm not as old as you guys. And for what I've been growing up, UFC has by far been way more entertaining and way more of a sell than any boxing match. That being said, me and everybody I watched the fight with were absolutely blown away. I actually earlier today watched Wilder Fury 1 just to get a different perspective on it. But my question is, with Joshua going to fight Fury, Ruiz probably going to get another shot. There's a Dillian White guy who's another
Brit.
That's right. Is there any chance that the heavyweight being the prime ticket now of all the divisions kind of thing, can it usurp the UFC in terms of popularity? Because I'll definitely say as an American, if it is all Brits and Europeans, if they're fighting like that, I will absolutely watch and buy these fights. It was badass.
Okay, I'm with you. I thought it was badass. I thought the fight was badass. It's a good way to put it. I don't like the UFC stuff. I mean, it's all personal taste, right? I'm not telling you what's better or what, you know, you like chocolate, I like vanilla. It's just whatever. Like, you have a certain... The UFC stuff does nothing for me. It just doesn't.
And I just feel like the great UFC fights are just far and few between, at least to me. I mean, but when you see this, I mean, it's just pure violence. And I don't want to see grabbing and wrestling around.
Yeah, there are no great UFC fights right now. None.
I'm just not. I need heavyweights. I need the best. And I know UFC has heavyweights, but then they hit the mat or they're pinned up against the fence.
Cage.
Cage. Whatever.
That stuff I have no.
They're elbowing each other, you know,
knees.
Shouldering each other in the
knee strikes.
Like knee strikes. I just do that on your own time. It's like it's not for me. I'm sorry. I know if it's for you, it's for you. I was weaned. I grew up in the Ali era and the, you know, the Sugar Ray Leonard and all that and Hagler and all that stuff. I remember that era. And that's what I'd love to see come back. So the heavyweights for me are worth my time. Nothing else is. And I know there's great fighters in the lower weight classes. I'm not into it. I need to see the big boys. The big fellas get after it. And they did on Saturday night. We continue with your thoughts on this. We'll have an update on the Brady watch here on a reentry Monday, getting back to the Celtics as well in that fascinating game yesterday. All coming your way after Murray's update, where there was breaking Bruins news earlier today. They did pull off a trade. Here are the details.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
I hate jokes. We're not taking jokes.
That joke blew.
It's Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
If your objective is to win next year's Super Bowl in Tennessee, are you better off with Ryan Tannehill or Tom Brady as your quarterback?
Tom Brady, what the hell are we talking about? Like, this is such a no-brainer. Now, if you're talking about succession plan and where Tennessee goes to the future, obviously that's a different conversation. I really enjoy what Ryan Tannehill did this year with the Titans. He played well. He played within a system, and he was actually being the catalyst for this offense for a number of weeks, although Derrick Henry was having this monumental year in the backfield. With that being said, there is no way in two hells I would not take Tom Brady over Ryan Tannehill with a team this close, with this amount of talent, with the opportunity to win a Super Bowl. Now, if we start talking about winning Super Bowls, Tom Brady puts Tennessee definitely in position.
Marcus Spears on ESPN this morning leads us to the Brady Watch and Maz's Rodenheiser take.
Yep, hot takes brought to you by Rodenheiser Home Services. Go to Rodenheiser.com to learn more. If you're the Titans, like I'm with Spears. I know you touched on this last week, but the Titans have won jack in their existence. Jack, if they had won a Super Bowl like 3 years ago, then I would say, you know, or if they'd won a couple, you know, all right, fine. You want to go long-term over short-term? Fine, I get it. But when they've played 54 Super Bowls, you haven't won any of them, let alone they've been to one, I think, right? Is that the only one? They've been there once, for crying out loud. You got to take the shot. You got to take the shot.
What leads to this is just when, you know, the topic of Brady to Tennessee is broached, a lot of reporters say, well, what do they do with Ryan Tannehill? Do they franchise him? Do they risk losing him? And every time someone does, I say, look, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
Don't worry about Ryan Tannehill.
Like they've got Pat Mahomes.
Like what? That's a replaceable ad. You think somehow now you've got like this asset that you're gonna have a hard. Trust me when I tell you, if you lose out on Brady and Tannehill, you can replace Tannehill. You can figure that out.
I mean, there are a million guys that could do what they asked him to do because they were a run-first team. They set him up to succeed. They had pretty good weapons in the pass game. They had a tremendous offensive line. And I'm not telling you Tannehill didn't play the best football of his career last year. He did.
No, he was good.
But I think that there are other guys that they could elevate to do what he did.
And he got kind of exposed in those two playoff games. It was more indicative of what Ryan Tannehill's been in his career in that game, the game that they won here, and in the loss at Kansas City. Like, he had a good year. He did. But sell high, you idiots.
I mean, for me, it's really this simple. If you want to win the Super Bowl, if you want to win the first Super Bowl in franchise history, Ryan Tannehill's not good enough.
It's not a consideration. They should be all in on Brady, and if that means they risk losing Tannehill, then so be it. And that's it. You don't extend, you don't franchise that guy for $35 million a year. You don't extend him to a multi-year extension where you're guaranteeing him tens of millions of dollars. You just, he's your fallback. And if he's there, he's there. If he's not, he's not. You'll be fine either way.
Which is originally why they got him in the first place.
Exactly.
They got him from Miami.
He's insurance.
Right out loud.
So right, so every time someone mentions Ryan Tannehill, like what do they do with what do you mean? What do they do with Tannehill? My Brady update, the Brady Watch update to me that I find interesting, and now we have 23 days until the contract expires. But do we NBC Sports Boston? Do we have 23 days, or do we have more? Now we got to start considering this as we juggle vacation time and all this stuff and da 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 da. When is the contract actually due? Because there is now a rumble that the league year may be pushed back. They just pushed back the franchise dates by 2 days, right? So they gave themselves a couple extra days to place the franchise tag on these players, and a lot of people think that's related to the fact that they don't have a new CBA. And it's hard to sign players to long-term contracts, especially these quarterback deals, which are big money, if you don't know the rules after this year. They only have 1 year to go on their existing CBA. But if you sign someone to a five-year deal, don't you want to know what years 2, 3, 4, and 5 look like in terms of a collective bargaining agreement? And they don't have that in place. Furthermore, because you don't have a collective bargaining in place beyond this year, upcoming year, you can't have dummy years or voidable years or all this nonsense that, you know, that they put into these contracts to make, you know, to make the money work, to make the cap work. So you don't have those mechanisms. So the idea is you just push back the franchise deadline. You push back the league year to give all the time that you possibly need to get the new CBA. So you know the rules and you can have all those mechanisms in place. So we've been going off the assumption that it's March 18. And the tampering period starts March 16. Could we be looking at another couple days or another couple weeks? I think it's absolutely on the table.
Great.
And it should be.
Yeah, we'll take that content.
All in favor. In favor here. I totally take as much time as you need, fellas.
Okay, so when I say great, first of all, the 18th, if I'm not mistaken, is a Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If they're going to push it back, it's got to be... If they're going to go to the 21st, they better go to the 23rd. In other words, we don't need it to be on a weekend, right?
Yeah,
right.
No. Weekday, 4 p.m.
Okay, so if they're going to go to the 23rd or beyond in that subsequent week, then fine, I'm in. Okay, no problem. But how about Brady? Don't you think Brady's looking at this going, you got to be kidding me. I've waited for 20 years to get to free agency. 20 freaking years. I am the best player in the history of the sport. I'm finally going to get paid, and you guys are telling me that I have to wait longer? I got to wait another couple days for you to figure this out? So, like, look, again, for us, great. As long as they don't let the thing fall on the weekend, fine. No problem. But I'm worried about, you know, I'm worried about that element coming into play.
I'm trying to, I'm going to throw my computer across the room. I usually write this down on my calendar, and I didn't. What's the date of the draft? It's now the end of April, right? It's like, I'm going to guess it's April 23rd.
Yeah, April 23rd.
Is that what it is? Yep. Thursday, April 23rd? That was just a guess. Okay, so they've got wriggle room there. They've got, I mean, they could push it back 2-3 weeks if they wanted to.
Sure, they could.
The NFL wants free agency before the draft. That's really the key time. I don't know if they want to go too, you know, you don't want to push it too far and go to, like, you know, April 20. They don't want a 3-day free agency period before you get to the draft, but they got wriggle room there. So, I mean, I think they could push it back 2 weeks.
That's what I would say, 2 weeks max.
You know, you could push it to the...
Very beginning of April.
April 1st. You could push it to April 1st, have the draft April 23rd if you really needed to.
Ideally, you would want it settled by the end of March.
Okay, so 23 days remaining on the contract unless... ... out there on that graphic on NBC Sports Boston. It is a reentry Monday. It's presented by East Boston Savings Bank. We got this. We have the Bruins at the deadline. Are you happy with what they did or not? The Celtics, we got a lot of thoughts on that coming up, and the fight, all of it. Back to your thoughts right after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Filger and Mez.
I love it.
You were right, Mez.
I just keep loving it more and more.
Bore my listeners to death.
I finally feel alive.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
Sounds good.
You wanted this to be the most complete performance of your career. Do you think it was tonight?
You know, I'm my own worst critic. And even though it was a fantastic performance and I got a great win, I know I can do better. And I've only just started me in Sugar Hill with this style. We've had 7 weeks to perfect a style that takes years at the Kronk Gym in and out. But I'm a quick learner and I aim to get back to work straight away, work on my balance, work on my straight punches, and we're going to be putting people to sleep left, right and centre. Don't forget, when I came here, they said I can't punch. Deontay Wilder said himself that I've got two pillow fists. But, you know, not bad for an old fat guy who can't punch, eh? Done all right, didn't I?
So I'm glad Fury keeps going just so Murray can get in there and do some British press conferences for us.
Tyson, you're the walking epitome of the song by Drake. The lyric goes, started from the bottom, now you're here. Your thoughts?
Apparently that place was overrun by nothing Brits. But Brits, too, the whole week leading up to it. Like, nonstop drinking, people getting up, just pounding, getting ready to watch Tyson Fury do what he did.
Well, I'll tell you what. If Fury is serious about that new style, you know, he just said we're going to be putting people to sleep here going forward, that's huge. Because if he's just another Klitschko that was just going to point people and, like, you know, bore us to tears, then that adds to, then it's like, okay, that ain't going to work either. The way he fought the other night, if he starts dropping people left, right, and center, yeah, I don't care if he's British, American, or whatever, that will work. And I'm, you know, that's great news if he really wants to keep fighting that way.
Oh, yeah, you need knockouts. Think of how that guy's life has changed. He was on the verge of, or was, you know, ready to kill himself. Now he's making tens of millions of dollars every time he sets foot in the ring. A great story.
But that change in style has to do with the change in trainer, right? Because in watching that E60 thing I was mentioning, like, you know, this guy he found was, he had known for a long time, helped him cut the weight. And then at the end it says, no, he went to a new trainer. And even I was like, ooh, I don't know what's going to happen here. But it seems like there's a change to his methodology in the ring.
Yeah, he wants to attack. He wants to hurt people. Wants to put them down. Good. That's good for everybody. And I'm surprised, you know, I didn't think the strategy would work on Saturday. I thought he was asking for trouble. You want to change blows with Deontay Wilder? That's silly. And you're going to put on more weight? You're going to get all lumpy? And he did. And he walked in the ring like, oh, he's in trouble. And he knew exactly what he was doing. So we continue with your thoughts on this and everything else on a Reentry Monday presented by East Boston Savings Bank. Dave in Boston, go ahead.
You know, you were saying that maybe the fight would be in Wembley. I think it's going to be at the new Raiders Stadium in Las Vegas in May. That's my inside thing that I think it's going to happen. Imagine they could treat it like a Super Bowl. With the same type of prices.
I'll tell you what, Dave. I think they make more money in Great Britain.
No question they do.
This Anthony Joshua fights in places I don't even know. Like I don't know these places exist. But he fights in Scotland in front of like 90,000 people. He fights all over the England, the big island, whatever. And packs giant soccer stadiums or Olympic stadiums. I don't even know. Like, soccer stadiums aren't that big, but he fights in front of 90,000 people over there. That's Joshua's a bigger star over there than Fury. Someone started to explain this to me. Like, Joshua's a pure Brit. Fury's not. Does Fury have
Irish roots, I think.
He has some Irish roots in him.
Yep.
So
they said this during the fight the other night.
Is that what it was? Is that why I saw it? So it's like, Joshua's their national hero over there. Not I'm sure Fury's coming along, but either way, though. No, they're fighting over there, and it's going to do a tremendous business.
I mean, if I lived over there and they fought here, I'd be pissed.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, come on. You know, you got the two best heavyweights in the world now that Wilder's been exposed, and you're going to fight over here? No way. That fight's got to be over there.
Dave in the car, Bruins at the deadline, the Dat and Hanen trade. How'd you feel about it? Hello, David. Sorry, my fault. Go ahead. Nope, he's not there.
Hi. I'm here. When you guys started talking about the trade potential Thornton for Heinen, I was all a go. I mean, I would take him for Joe Thornton, Scott Thornton, Sean Thornton, Billy Bob Thornton. I hate Danton Heinen. And might be a nice guy, but he gets knocked on his ass, and then he touches the puck. Someone else scores. He gets an assist. That's all he is. I'm glad he's gone.
Yeah, me too. I never enjoyed watching the guy play. I don't know what he did. I just don't know what he did. And, I mean, I didn't think much of him, but he's still the kind of guy that I could see a team hanging on to. They drafted him. They developed. Was he even a draft or was he a – oh, yeah, he was a fourth-round pick. So they drafted him. They developed him. He showed you a little something. You know, he had 16 goals for you a couple of years ago. Young player that fits your system, and I could just see another team sort of hanging on to him. And they didn't. And so, like, I appreciate that. I like that they got bigger with Nick Ritchie. He's not much of a player either, but at least he will hit you, and you will notice him on the ice. And I'm glad they at least tinkered around the edges. I'm frustrated they weren't in on Vincent Trocheck. That would be my one big second guess today, that they weren't in on Vincent Trocheck, because the package that he went for was not prohibitive. He went for a bag of pucks, it felt like to me. Four guys, four Jags, and the Bruins could have been in on him. If now you're telling me they didn't get Chris Kreider, no problem. He didn't go anywhere. He re-signed with the Rangers. Or the Palmieri in New Jersey, he didn't move either, so maybe they were asking for something stupid. Bruins didn't have their first-round pick anymore, so I can't get on him for that. But the Vincent Trocheck went for a package that did not include a first-round pick. So that's something they could have done. So that is the one that frustrates me, that one. Let's jump Dan in the car real quick on the fight. Go ahead, Dan.
Hey, guys. I just wanted to say I think obviously the three venues that could host the Fury-Joshua fight, obviously England. I think if it comes out that the pay-per-view did really well in America, I think Bob Arum could push for it to be in America. And I also think Saudi Arabia, because I can see him offering a boatload of money to get Joshua and Fury. Especially since Joshua's already fought there.
Sure. What was that fight we just saw? Joshua and Ruiz. Ruiz. What wasn't it?
No, it was Wilder Ruiz.
No. Then it was Ortiz.
Ortiz. That's who it was. Ortiz.
It was Joshua Ortiz that I just saw there that on DAZN. Again, I'm just curious if it can hold America's attention if these are foreign fighters fighting on foreign soil
for a little while.
You know, how long will that last? We could give two poops about Klitschko and that whole era of the heavyweight division where it was all Europeans and it was mostly over there. We didn't pay it any attention at all. I think Wilder's important in this regard.
He did. He definitely is. So he's got to make some sort of comeback here. Otherwise, the thing just fades. But in the short term, like you said, you'll watch the next one.
Oh, for sure.
You'll watch Fury Joshua.
I'll watch Fury wherever he goes. Absolutely. Will everybody else? Will everybody else? Jim in the car. Go ahead, Jim. Hi, Jim.
Hey, guys. I was just calling in about the Bruins and trading before the salary, before the deadline. I don't think that there was really much there. However, I don't blame Don Sweeney, which I have blamed in the past. I think that really what killed them was the trade with the dump for salary for a number one pick. That right there. I think they were going for something much bigger, or Sweeney was anyway, and I think he was tied to that with Jacobs and with salary management.
I don't know where you're going with that. What does Jacobs have to do with this? They've spent their faces off. They've been too tight against the cap. They've been over the cap. They've had to cut money just to get under the cap. But Jacobs has nothing to do with this. Zero. Yeah, it frustrates me. 0.0.
I mean, to me, if there's a criticism about how they handled the money at the deadline, it's that they might be earmarking it for the future.
So, right, did they get under the cap here so they could re-sign Krug? But I have no doubt they're going to spend their money. Like, that's not the problem anymore. You call 20 years ago. You have a case. And if a player out there demanded a first-round pick, they didn't have it. So I'm not going to get on them for that. Vincent Trocheck went for a package that did not include a first-round pick, not one that's coming up or not one that was made. It was all sort of bottom six forwards or system players. Really, talk about ponies for a horse. And I don't know if you consider Vincent Trocheck a horse, but he's a good player. He would have been a good fit. And it went for just four pieces. That's the one I second-guess him over. They should have been in on him. They had the ammo for Vincent Trocheck. Let's pick up the Celtics when we come back. Fascinating game yesterday. What did it say to you about that team? And what did it say about you about their chances going forward? We'll hit on that right after Murray's 90-second update. There are no commercials here on Felger and Mazz, presented by DraftKings.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.